Bombardier is going ahead with the C-Series. Another near miss at JFK results in immediate changes. And the Teeler Diamond soap opera continues. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, July 14th, 2008. At the biennial Farnborough Aviation Show, Bombardier announced on Sunday its board of directors has granted approval for the launch of the C-Series. The company says the five abreast commercial airliners will offer airlines superior economics, performance, environmental, and passenger-oriented improvements for the next quarter century. Entry into service is scheduled for 2013. Germany's Lufthansa will be the aircraft's launch customer, signing a 60-plane letter of intent, including 30 options. Bombardier President and CEO Pierre Beaudoin told reporters, quote, "We have met our business plan objectives, a technologically advanced aircraft family, a strong pipeline of orders, and repayable investments with governments and agreements with key suppliers," unquote. Bombardier estimates the need for 5,900 100 to 149-seat commercial aircraft over the next 20 years. Final assembly will happen in a plant near Montreal, but the wings will be manufactured in the company's facility in Belfast, Ireland. On Friday, another pair of airliners had a near miss, coming within about a half mile of each other over New York's JFK International Airport. CNN reports that this time, the FAA has responded not with an investigation, but with an immediate halt to simultaneous operations on perpendicular runways at JFK. FAA spokeswoman Laura Brown confirmed Delta Flight 123, a Boeing 757 inbound from Shannon, Ireland, executed a missed approach to runway 22 left and came within 600 feet vertically and a half mile laterally of a Comair CRJ-900 taking off on 13 right. It's possible this incident would have gone unreported had it not followed another conflict over JFK a week ago involving a similar scenario. Dean Iacopelli, a spokesman for the New York chapter of the National Air Traffic Controllers Association, confirmed the FAA has, quote, "terminated that perpendicular simultaneous approach procedure," unquote. There was more sniping from both Diamond Aircraft Industries and T-Alert Aircraft Engines on Friday in a volley that's sounding more and more like two bratty kids in the back seat on a long road trip. Diamond announced on Friday it would not bid for T-Alert, charging that insolvency administrator Bruno Kebler is keeping potential investors in the dark about details important to assessing the investment potential that the engine maker's business represents. Quote, "The summary description, in Diamond's opinion, withholds relevant facts regarding TAE engines, the TAE customers, and the competitive market forces," unquote. Kebler shot back, quote, "Diamond would have received comprehensive information regarding the situation of T-Alert after signing the confidentiality agreement. Diamond's actions clearly serve the purpose of derogating T-Alert's reputation in the naive assumption to be able to subsequently purchase T-Alert far under value," unquote. Diamond had openly speculated about buying T-Alert for $79 million, half the sum Kebler is thought to want for the company. Immediately following Friday's installment of the T-Alert soap opera, Diamond sought to assure its customers that it has a plan for the post-T-Alert era. Diamond, which was T-Alert's largest single customer, said it continues to work to provide existing customers flying behind T-Alert diesels the best support it can given the circumstances. Quote, "We are actively working on the technical challenges needed to be able to manufacture and overhaul select TAE parts for the EASA STCs we are pursuing," unquote. The company added it's moving ahead on gaining regulatory approvals needed to retrofit the Austro Engines AE300 turbodiesel into existing planes and to use Austro as an OEM on new DA42s and DA40 TDIs. Diamond says it's also working on a program to allow customers with deposits on T-Alert-equipped DA42s to transition to the waiting list for versions of the plane powered by either the new Austro diesel or the Lycoming O360. Diamond adds it will also refund deposits to position holders who won't accept anything but T-Alert, and will have more to say about the entire matter at Oshkosh. Coming up next, Sir Richard Branson predicts a major U.S. airline will fail. U.S. machinists rally around Boeing's aerial tanker. And the FAA will spend another $28 million on Denver International. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 14th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Sir Richard Branson, the billionaire owner of Virgin Atlantic Airlines, has demonstrated he's not afraid to speak his mind, even if it risks angering competitors. On Saturday, Branson predicted spectacular casualties in the global airline industry. He told the London Times, quote, "The financial state of the world is just about the worst I've ever known it. It's getting perilously close to being worse than the 1990s. You have the perfect storm. You've not only got the banking crisis and the housing crisis, you've got the soaring fuel prices as well. One of the big American carriers will almost definitely go," unquote. As ANN reported, Virgin America, an offshoot of Branson's Virgin Group, launched operations of its own in the U.S. last August. Branson also repeated his criticism of BAA, a private operator which has a monopoly on the three major London airports. Many have called for the three airports to be managed by competing agencies. Branson would go even further. Quote, "It's been embarrassing to be British looking at foreigners queuing up to come into the country. I certainly think that BAA should be broken up. Each individual terminal at Heathrow should be privatized so they can compete against each other. BAA just creams off more and more every year," unquote. Branson also confirmed Virgin is interested in purchasing Britain's BMI, which is due to come up for a change of ownership in 2009. That airline controls a number of prized landing slots at Heathrow. The International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers called on U.S. Secretary of Defense Robert Gates Friday to ensure that the new round of bidding for a new Air Force aerial tanker contract does not include any residual bias from the initial competition. The Government Accountability Office found that the Air Force had favored Northrop Grumman and Eads over Boeing in evaluating bids in that competition. IAM General Vice President Rich Mikulski said, quote, "We are calling for aggressive oversight of the bidding process. We will not accept, nor should American taxpayers accept, a process or an outcome that is only slightly less rigged than the initial round of bidding," unquote. The union fears the Department of Defense might once again consider the increased fuel capacity and other criteria that favor the Airbus-sourced KC-45A over Boeing's smaller KC-767, which the union and Boeing claim better matches the original request for proposals. The union certainly has an interest in the outcome. IAM represents nearly 35,000 Boeing employees in Washington, Oregon, Kansas, and elsewhere in the U.S. The FAA announced on Friday it intends to spend another $28 million on ground capacity improvements at Denver International Airport in Colorado. FAA Acting Administrator Robert Sturgill calls it a boost for Denver and for the entire aviation system. Quote, "When you increase capacity at Denver, it pays dividends nationwide. This grant allows the city to move forward with much-needed improvement projects," unquote. The projects include the expansion of ramps in concourses A and C. Additional parking for commuter aircraft will be built to increase capacity and reduce congestion in the terminal area. The letter of intent proposes to provide funding for the project from 2008 through 2013. The total cost is estimated to be $59 million, which would be covered by a combination of AIP funds, airport funds, and general airport revenue bonds. This marks the third letter of intent for the airport since its construction in 1995, representing a total investment in the airport of $421 million. Boeing reports it and its partners achieved significant reductions in fuel consumption and carbon dioxide emissions during a test of tailored arrivals, aka continuous descent. The concept uses automated arrival management to allow airliners to reduce power once at the start of a descent for arrival and then coast most of the way in for landings, rather than the current system of staged descents requiring multiple power increases and decreases. From December 4th last year to March 23rd of this year, United Airlines, Air New Zealand, and Japan Airlines completed 57 flights into San Francisco International Airport using continuous descent. The approach is claimed to have reduced fuel consumption during descents by up to 39% and total carbon emissions by more than 500,000 pounds. Kevin Brown, Boeing VP and General Manager of Air Traffic Management, observes, quote, "As more airlines and airports use it, we move closer toward realizing the benefits expected from the next generation air transportation system," unquote. During the test, tailored arrivals made use of the FAA's Ocean 21 system to deliver data and to streamline communications between flight crews and air traffic controllers, and NASA's En route Descent Advisor software to compute fuel-efficient descent profiles. Tailored arrivals will be tested later this year at Miami International Airport as part of a joint FAA-European Commission initiative to accelerate improvements that can reduce emissions and noise. Still ahead, Hartzell now has a top prop for single-engine bonanzas. The University of North Dakota puts Cessnas back on its ramp. And EAA announces the fly-in movie lineup for Air Venture. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, July 14th, 2008. I'm Paul Plagg. Hartzell Propeller is now able to offer its three-bladed top prop for new Beechcraft Bonanza G36 piston singles. The new supplemental type certificate applies to all F-33A, V-35B, A-36, and G-36 Bonanzas powered by factory original Continental IO-520 or 550 engines, including aircraft equipped with 28-volt electrothermal propeller de-ice systems. The propeller's blended airfoil was made possible by advanced CNC milling technology to maintain structural characteristics while incorporating aerodynamic improvements in the new tip section. The scimitar-shaped swept tip blades are free of life-limiting airworthiness directives and come with the longest TBO available for a Bonanza propeller system at 6 years or 2,400 hours. Mike Trudeau, the top prop program manager, says, quote, "At 82 inches in diameter, the propeller is 2 inches larger than the original Bonanza prop, which provides an increase in takeoff and climb performance. Bonanza owners have also reported a 2 to 4 knot improvement in cruise speed," unquote. Cost for the complete kit is $9,995 without de-ice and up to $11,495 with electrothermal de-ice, depending on the system it replaces. Prices include the propeller, a polished spinner, and, of course, the STC paperwork. Cessna announced on Friday it has entered into a multi-year contract with the University of North Dakota for Cessna 172 Skyhawks. The first 4 of 25 to be delivered this year were turned over to the school last week during a ceremony at Cessna's facility in Independence, Kansas. The aircraft will be used for flight training at the university's John D. Odegaard School of Aerospace Sciences. The school's average enrollment of flight students is over 1,000, and total flight training hours surpasses 90,000 each year in more than 120 aircraft. Earlier this year, UND Aerospace became the first collegiate flight program to add a Citation Mustang business jet to its training fleet. The so-called fly-in movies have become very popular at EAA Air Venture Oshkosh, and this year's schedule has been announced by the Experimental Aircraft Association. The 2008 lineup includes two movies about the Memphis Belle made 46 years apart, and every night features introductions by special guests. Here's the schedule for the entire week at Whitman Regional Airport in Oshkosh. On Sunday, July 27th, you can see a double feature. The Memphis Belle, the story of a flying fortress, was made in 1944. The Flight of the Gossamer Condor was made in 1978. The introduction will be by the Academy Award-winning producer Ben Shedd, who produced the Gossamer Condor film. On Monday night, Flyboys, released in 2006. David Ellison, one of the stars of the movie, will introduce it and talk about his own flying experiences. On Tuesday night, Speed and Angels, a drama released this year that follows two young F-14 pilots through U.S. Navy aviation training. It'll be introduced by the film's producer, Paco Chirici, and one of the featured actors, Jay Consalvi. On Wednesday, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, 1984's second installment of the original Indiana Jones trilogy, and it'll be introduced by Harrison Ford himself. On Thursday, July 31st, Strategic Air Command from 1955. It stars Jimmy Stewart, June Allison, and Frank Lovejoy, and will be presented by Bill Lowe, pilot, airshow announcer, and journalist. On Friday night, Broken Arrow, a 1996 film starring John Travolta, Christian Slater, and Howie Long. The introduction by John Travolta, actor and pilot. And finally, on Saturday, August 2nd, the 1990 film Memphis Belle, starring Matthew Modine, Eric Stoltz, and Harry Connick Jr. This one will be introduced by World War II B-17 veterans. Each evening's presentation starts at 8:30 p.m., weather permitting, and the feature films are shown on a screen 5 stories tall, and they're free of charge to all EAA Air Venture attendees. And popcorn's included. Guests should bring a blanket or lawn chair for seating at the Natural Amphitheater, located adjacent to EAA's Camp Scholler. And finally, the Experimental Aircraft Association announced last week Jack and Kate Tiffany and the crew of Leading Edge Restorations have completed the restoration of the only flying Pitcairn PA-18 autogyro in existence. The machine was originally built in 1932, before helicopters roamed the earth. Experienced antique aircraft restorer and pilot Andrew King performed the first flight tests. After a taxi mishap in mid-June resulted in damage to the rotor blades and top of the vertical fin and rudder, repairs were done, and the first successful flights were made last Thursday at Andy Barnhart Memorial Airport near Dayton, Ohio. In a phone interview with EAA, Jack Tiffany was ecstatic, quote, "It flies beautifully, slowly, but beautifully," unquote. The machine has almost a slow-motion look compared to helicopters. Its four-bladed, fabric-covered rotor turns at just 120 RPM in normal flight. The extremely rare aircraft is now back on for Oshkosh. EAA says to look for it in front of the Vintage Aircraft Association's Red Barn, just south of Aeroshell Square. As ANN reported, Stephen Pitcairn, the son of Harold Pitcairn, who founded Pitcairn Aircraft, passed away on March 29th at the age of 83. Steve was an active contributor to the EAA Aviation Foundation, on which he served as a director, and continued as a valued advisor and contributor to EAA's programs. The Pitcairn Aviation Hangar at EAA's Pioneer Airport, which was dedicated in 1993, will continue Steve's legacy and that of the entire Pitcairn family. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with CFI Bob Miller about what he calls aviation's great hopes, training VFR pilots to avoid IMC instead of handle it, and training instrument pilots using only simulated IMC. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.